Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Last Sunday was significant for three reasons. First of all, many children had fun going from house to house collecting candy. Second, I concluded my sermon series on Hebrews chapter 11. Third and finally, last Sunday, October 31st, many Lutherans around the world celebrated the Reformation. As many of you know, about 500 years ago, God used a man named Martin Luther to correct many false teachings that had crept into the Christian church over the years. And one of those errors, probably the ultimate error, was the idea that salvation from death and hell needed to be merited and earned by our good works. In fact, Martin Luther was in bondage to this lie when he entered the monastery. You see, no matter how many good works Luther did, no matter how much Luther denied himself and punished himself, he never had any peace. One day he asked a fellow priest this question, "How can I find a gracious God?" Well, my friends, the good news is that our gracious God found Luther. God found Luther by reaching out to him through the words of Holy Scripture. You see, when Luther was reading the book of Romans, he came across this passage. "For in the gospel a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith." Now you need to understand something. It's not as though Luther was totally illiterate of what the Bible said. For many years, Luther had studied the Bible, but he never understood it. For example, when Luther read about the righteousness of God, he assumed that this meant that God was a righteous judge who would damn people if they had not done enough good works to be worthy of his mercy. But when Luther read the book of Romans, and I'm sure he had read it before, he just didn't catch this. When Luther read the book of Romans this time, he discovered that the righteousness of God refers to God's desire to be merciful to sinners for Christ's sake. In other words, sinners can never do enough good works to be worthy of God's mercy. If salvation depended on us doing enough good works to be worthy of God's mercy, we would all end up in hell, because the Bible clearly teaches that God requires absolute perfect holiness and nothing less. In other words, we cannot make up for our sins by doing good works, because according to the Bible, the only consequence for sin is death, and we can't do anything to buy ourselves away from that. Therefore, out of love for us unworthy sinners, God sent his Son into the world to live a perfectly holy life in our place, and then to die on the cross in our place of punishment. My friends, the holiness and forgiveness that Christ won for us is a free gift that God gives to unworthy sinners. However, another important point needs to be made. This free gift of salvation needs to be received. You see, if people deny their sin, or if they trust in their own works for salvation, they're thereby rejecting the gift that God has given them and leaving themselves under God's wrath. Therefore, the Bible clearly teaches that the salvation of Christ must be received through faith. As we learned in our previous sermon series from Hebrews chapter 11, faith means trust in God's word. Now, how does this apply to us? Well, those who trust God's word believe what the Bible says about our sin and the damnation we deserve. In other words, we agree with Scripture when God says that we sinners deserve hell and nothing other than that. But there's more. Those who trust God's word also believe that we sinners are forgiven and holy in God's sight because of Jesus and Jesus alone and all that He's done for us. The Apostle Paul is teaching us this truth in Romans 1, verse 17, which you heard moments ago. In fact, in this verse of Romans, Paul quotes from the Old Testament prophet Habakkuk. When Paul says, as it is written, he's quoting from Habakkuk, and Habakkuk says, the righteous will live by faith. Now you need to understand something. Who are the righteous? Well, the righteous are not people who have done enough good things to be worthy of God's mercy and love. That's how many people in the world today think when they hear the word righteous. To be righteous, they assume, means that you're good enough to go to heaven. No. If you read the Bible carefully, whether the Old Testament or the New Testament, the righteous are those who acknowledge their sin. They admit that they deserve God's wrath, and yet they trust in Christ, and through faith in Him receive God's free gift of mercy and eternal life. Once Luther understood the truth of the gospel, he was set free from despair and unbelief. In fact, on many occasions, Luther said that God had used the book of Romans to bring him to faith in Christ. Another thing that you need to know about the book of Romans, the book of Romans is like a roadmap that helps us understand the entire Bible correctly. I mean, I have to admit that reading through the entire Bible is a long, difficult journey. And unless we have a roadmap that shows us how it all fits together, we could easily get lost and totally misunderstand where the Bible is leading us. So a helpful way to prepare yourself to read the entire Bible is to first read the book of Romans, because it's like a roadmap that shows us how the scriptures are to be read properly. You see, some people read the Bible, but they come to it with the presupposition that we must do something to be worthy of God's love. And they read the Bible with that presupposition in mind. And as a result, they never truly understand what Scripture is trying to teach us. For example, if you approach the Bible with the assumption that you have to earn your salvation, and you read about the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20 or Deuteronomy chapter 5, you might conclude, oh, these are the rules I got to keep to be worthy of God's love. But you see, if you read the wider context of Scripture, you find out that's not why God gave the commandments at all. He never gave them as rules for us to keep in order to be worthy of God's love, because we can't. If you read the wider context of Scripture, you find out that the law was given, first of all, to show us our sin and our need for a Savior. And once we have been saved, God then uses the law as a guide to show us how we get to live as people who are already forgiven and already holy in God's sight through faith in Jesus. But the law was never intended to be a list of rules for us to keep to earn God's salvation. But that's how many people read the Bible, because they come to it with the wrong presupposition. However, once we understand that all of Scripture points us to Christ, once we understand that Scripture teaches that salvation is a free gift that we have through faith in Jesus, then the Bible comes alive for us. And its teaching gives us comfort, hope, wisdom, and strength as we strive to live as God's dearly loved people in this world. Now, with all that said, I want to stress again that today I'm starting a brand new sermon series on the book of Romans titled The Romans Roadmap. You see, the book of Romans is great for a couple reasons. First of all, it covers almost all of the teachings of the Christian faith. And secondly, as I mentioned, the book of Romans is like a roadmap that gives us directions on how to read the Scriptures properly so that we don't get sidetracked by false teaching. I need to tell you, I'm really looking forward to preaching on the book of Romans over the next few months. And I promise you, you're going to be blessed as you learn about Christ and His teaching from this wonderful book of Holy Scripture. As I said earlier, I encourage you to bring your Bibles to church so you can follow along in your own Bibles and look at the wider context of the text I'm looking at for that day. And like I said earlier, as long as you're here with your Bible, I encourage you to stay for Bible class as well, because you'll be blessed there too. Now today's scripture reading is Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 17. Now I don't have time to go through this text verse by verse and expound every passage in absolute detail. And so instead I'm going to sum up today's reading by making the following 5 points. Here's the first point. Paul teaches that he was called by God to be an apostle. Let me say that again. Paul teaches that he was called by God to be an apostle. This is important because here we realize that if people end up being believers, it's not because one day they got up and decided, you know, I think I'll decide to love God and serve Him today. No, the only way people end up following God is if God finds us and reaches out to us and calls us out of life of unbelief and sin into a life of repentance and faith. And that's what happened with Paul. As you remember, Paul at one time had been a self-righteous Pharisee. He hated Jesus and he persecuted Christians until he met the risen Christ. And the love of Jesus captured his heart. And Paul was a new man. So Paul was called by God to be an apostle. Now the second point, God entrusted Paul with the gospel that was promised in the Old Testament. Let me say that again. God entrusted Paul with the gospel that was promised in the Old Testament. Now what's the gospel? Well, the gospel is the good news about God's Son and all that He's done for us. But please note that Paul says this gospel was promised in the Old Testament. You know, sometimes people have the wrong idea about the Old Testament. They think the Old Testament is a bunch of ancient history that has no relevance for our lives today. And worse yet, they think the Old Testament is all a bunch of judgment, doom, and gloom, and there's nothing cheery and hopeful to read about in the Old Testament. Wrong. First of all, if you read the New Testament, there's a lot of doom and gloom and judgment there as well. Sometimes people say, oh, I like reading the New Testament because Jesus always has pleasant things to say and He never says anything harsh or condemning. And then I usually say, you haven't read the New Testament, have you? Anytime you read the New Testament, especially the Gospels, you find out that Jesus can be very, very, very harsh and He will call sin, sin. So the New Testament is full of harsh language too. But just like the Old Testament, the New Testament is full of gospel. But you hear what I said? Just like the Old Testament, the New Testament is full of good news about the free gift of salvation. If you read the book of Genesis all the way through the final book of the Old Testament, Malachi, you will find tons of gospel, tons of information about God being gracious and compassionate and loving and forgiving sins, even though we don't deserve it, because of the Savior He promised to send for all people. In fact, I dare say that you cannot even begin to understand the Old Testament unless you see how it points us to Jesus. Now, the third point, and this is important. According to Paul, Jesus is fully human and fully God. Let me say that again. Jesus is fully human and fully God. Paul focuses on the fact that Jesus is human by saying that he was a descendant of King David. You see, Mary was in the family line of King David. And of course, King David traced himself all the way back to Abraham, through whom God said the Savior would come into the world. And so Jesus had a human ancestry. He was fully human. But the Bible is also clear that Jesus is fully and completely God. Otherwise, he couldn't have saved us. That's why Jesus' death is unique. Because in that case, the man on the cross was God himself, suffering and dying in our place. And so Paul says that the Holy Spirit points to Jesus' resurrection as proof that he is God in human flesh. Now the fourth point, Jesus came into the world to save all sinners. Once again, Jesus came into the world to save all sinners. Paul said that he was chosen to be an apostle in order to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. Why does he say that? Well, you see, back then there were some who wrongly believed that only the Jews who kept God's commandments could be saved. But Scripture teaches that all people are saved through faith in Jesus alone. In other words, it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile. If you deny your sin or trust in your own works, you won't be saved. And yet, at the same time, it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile. If you confess your sin and trust in Jesus, you are saved. My friends, Jesus came into the world to save all sinners. Now for the fifth and final point. When Paul talks about the obedience that comes from faith, he is teaching that good works are the result of being saved. Let me say that again. When Paul talks about the obedience that comes from faith, he's teaching that good works are the result of being saved. You know, Martin Luther was accused of denying good works. When Martin Luther taught that we're saved as a complete free gift because of what Jesus did for us, his opponent says, "Luther, how can you say that? If you teach people that they're saved totally and completely because of Jesus, they won't want to do any good works. You're preaching against good works." What was Luther's response? He said, "On the contrary, I'm upholding good works." Why did Luther say that? Because Scripture is clear that it's impossible for unbelievers to do good works. Now you might say, "Wait a minute, Pastor, time out. I know people who aren't Christians. There's people all over the world who don't believe in Jesus, and yet they do lots of good things. Oh, I don't deny that. But they cannot do them for the right reasons. According to the Bible, even though unbelievers can do good works, they do them with sinful motives. That's why in the book of Isaiah, God tells his people, all your righteous acts are filthy rags before me. And notice what God said. He didn't say all your sins are filthy before me, which they are, of course. But he said, all your righteous acts are as filthy rags. Why was he saying that to his people? Because his people bought into the pagan idea of God all around them. The pagans taught, if you just do enough good things, then you will convince the gods you're worthy of their mercy and they'll bless you. So God's people in the Old Testament thought, well, I've done a few sins, but to make up for them, I'll do a bunch of good things, and then I'll point out to God all these good things I have done, and he'll ignore the sins that I've done. And what was God's response? Your righteous acts are filthy rags before me. In contrast, Luther was teaching that once a person is brought to faith in Christ, once a person realizes that he should have been in hell, but because of Jesus' sacrifice he is forgiven, his heart changes. And now, by God's grace, we do good works for the right reasons. Luther insisted, any person who is truly converted by the gospel will joyfully do good works, not in order to earn salvation, but simply out of love for God and out of love for his fellow man, because he's forgiven. In other words, the free gift of God's salvation in Christ sets us free to do good works for all the right reasons. Love. And so Paul teaches that the gospel results in obedience that comes from faith. It sets us free. Now we look at the Ten Commandments as Christians and realize, hey, even though these commandments show me I'm a sinner, I know I'm forgiven through Jesus. And now I can use the Ten Commandments to show me how I get to live as someone who's already completely forgiven, already completely loved by God, and already completely holy in His sight because of Jesus. In other words, my life of good works is an offering of thanks and praise to the God who saved me, even though I don't deserve it. And so the gospel sets us free for the obedience that comes from faith. In closing, Paul ends today's reading with these words. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. Did you hear that? The gospel is not merely information, like a TV commercial. When I preach to you the good news about Jesus, that is the power of God. Whether you're hearing a sermon about Jesus, or a friend of yours is telling you about Jesus, or whether you're reading about Jesus in the Holy Scriptures, that is the power of God for salvation. The good news about Jesus is the instrument of the Holy Spirit to capture our hearts and turn us toward God in faith. Gospel is the power of God. That's why you should never be shy about witnessing to other people about Jesus. Sometimes people say, oh, pastor, I'm just a lay person. I don't know the Bible like you do. I don't know how to explain all the complicated teachings of the Bible. You don't need to. Oh, you know, if you study God's Word on a regular basis, you'll get better at it. But until you're more mature in the faith and understand the Bible more, you can still be a witness for Jesus. I remember one of the hymns in the hymnal. One of the stanzas goes like this. You may not be able to preach like Paul, but you can tell the love of Jesus. You can say he died for all. And God will work through that powerful gospel to reach out and capture people for his kingdom. I want to leave you with this. Your you're here today trusting in Jesus as your Savior, because you have been captured by the power of the gospel. By God's gift of faith, you trust in Christ and you receive all the gifts of salvation that He's won for you. Through faith in Jesus, you get to live now and forever as God's dearly loved child. And because of that, the words that were spoken by the prophet Habakkuk hundreds of years ago apply to you. These words are describing you. When Habakkuk wrote, "The righteous will live by faith." Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.